Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Scarycast. This is Dr. John with you tonight, and we want to welcome all of our new listeners on Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes tonight for Scarycast. So we're just really glad to have you. Thanks for being with us. We got a super show lined up tonight. Scarycast is always fun. If you've never been around us, we talk about the paranormal, cool pop culture stuff, and of course wrestling, because we all love wrestling. You know that. First of all, I want to make an announcement. We are watching carefully Time Traveler Noah. He's got two major predictions. Number one is that in January, we're going to have a rash of UFO sightings worldwide. We haven't gotten the stats yet from this past week, but we'll let you know. Second of all, he said on Apex TV that we might have a couple of towns actually get destroyed because of snow. Now, you know we're having record snowfalls throughout the Midwest and New England, so that might not be so far-fetched, but we're going to let you know how next week is going to be a good time for us to kind of catch up on Time Traveler Noah and his predictions, and we're going to see if this guy really has come from the future and knows what's going on, so that's going to be good. Anyway, tonight, we've got our two of the best wrestlers that I know. Our guests are Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, WCW Superstar and Alumni, and L.A. Tank. Tank is an ECW alumni. They're both doing superb independent wrestling out there on the East Coast, and we're so glad to have them. Right now, I want to start, and I want to say, Tank, how you doing tonight? Glad to have you here on Scarycast.
I'm doing all right. Okay, fine. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here, too. Now, it's cold in Myrtle Beach. How is it up in Richmond? I bet it's freezing, isn't it?
Up here in Virginia is actually 27 degrees.
Ooh, balmy 27. Okay. Well, whatever. We're just glad I'm just glad I'm inside and here in the studio, and you're inside, and we're going to catch up a little bit. So I met you first when you were wrestling with Papa Stro at UPWA in Wilmington, North Carolina, and that was about a year ago. You guys were absolutely great. Now, you were with ECW. That was your first big mark in the industry. And you know, you told me a story one time about your audition for ECW. Do you mind sharing that story again? Because I really like that story about your audition with ECW.
No, I don't have no problem with it. It was like in the late 90s, early 2000s. ECW was at the time running Friday night TV tapings. And it came up to Richmond and for a TV taping at the Siegel Center. And they was having open tryouts. Of course, you know, by that being a major indie at the time, you had them, WWE, and WCW always running. There was the three major companies running at the time. You know, and when they announced the tryout, so you imagine the swarm of indie guys that came to try to get in, you know, just like it is now. And I went to the Richmond show, and they had a lot of technical problems going on with the fire marshal for pyro, and some of the guys that was billed to be on the card didn't show up due to travel issues and all, and they wind up canceling the crowds, but they made an announcement, you know, if anybody was still interested, you had to travel down the following day to Blacksburg, Virginia, to the Salem Civic Center. And I took it upon myself, and I went down there. And I had my father at the time accompany me. And he took the ride, which was like almost 3-hour ride down there. And I got in, and it was kind of interesting because I walked in, and I seen pretty much all the big names that you hear about in the world, some that's no longer active at all, a majority of them not. Very few at the time I met a young C.W. Anderson, Tommy Dreamer. I was very surprised when I met Chris Jericho to see, I guess, I figured Jericho would have been a little more taller, but to see Jericho was the same height I was, and, you know, a little bit bigger than me at the time. I figured he would be a small guy, but a very talented guy. You know, it was a bunch of, you know, names I could just go on. But when I got in, Lee Curtis do a series of cardio, which at the time I kind of found it, you know, nonsense because it had nothing to do with wrestling, you know. But at the same time, I understood it was a way of eliminating people. And instead of them saying, hey, you know, what we're looking for, what we're trying out for, I guess they went around about, at that time, a whole lot of companies went around about doing a bunch of cardio work, you know, different agility drills and all, but very few, you know, wrestling moves. I mean, really, you could have all the cardio in the world, but if you couldn't get in that ring and wrestle, I mean, you really was useless, in my opinion. I mean, really, after seeing some of the major guys on TV, you know, that could work, and some that really I found out that really couldn't work, you know. Now, I prefer not to call their names because I don't want them to be put out there. I'm embarrassing them or nothing. It's just, you know, I kind of looked at it and it's like, well, cool. Well, in the process, and I'll say again, I know an unnamed wrestler, I'll put it this way, he's well-known, famous. He made a little racial remark to me, and he was a black wrestler also. And he had several black wrestlers, so I'll leave it like that in ECW. And me and him kind of wind up getting at words. Well, in the process, we went from getting in words to he jumped out the ring. He kind of got it in my face, and I guess he felt threatened at the time that an indie guy was coming in trying to get a job. And I let him know, like, look, it wasn't no hard choice or nothing. I was just there to get paid like he was. Well, he started telling me about his little history and where I grew up and where I come from. I came from a rough neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? I kind of had the best of both worlds of living in the city life and the country life. So, you know, at that time frame, listening to somebody make threats of how big and bad it was like, you know, what to do. At the same time, I was undercover police officer for the Virginia State Police Office, the police department, you know, and I was an undercover trooper. I was a narcotics officer. So him making the threats like he was making, I found it very funny. Like, you know, he really had no clue who he was talking to, you know, even though I was off duty, but still in Virginia, you're a state trooper, you're a trooper, you know, your jurisdiction is all over the whole city. So I didn't play the cop game, but I just let him know, like, you know, look, I wasn't here for none of that nonsense. And he just kept on going on. So I got tired of his mouth, and I hopped in the ring, and I let him know, you know, hey, where I come from, you either talk, you either be about it or shut the hell up, you know. Anybody can run their mouth. And he looked at me, asked me, do I know who he was playing with? And I looked at him, told him, nobody follows up, sir. So he decided to proceed to hop in the ring as he brought his head and majority of his torso through the second rope. I brought him in the rest of the way with a foot and a leg, actually, is what we call a shoot. And I literally commenced him whooping his behind. For real.
Yeah.
And the next time I realized, I got half the majority of that active roster. They're separating us, and the majority of them is kind of like pinned me in the corner, and I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I ain't really thinking about it at the time, and I was like, holy hell, I just sit here and just beat the hell out of one of their named wrestlers. And, you know, I started wondering, you know, am I going to get jumped, or what was the deal? And I found out a lot of wrestlers, majority of that card, didn't particularly care for this one wrestler anyhow, because his attitude sucked. He thought it was God's gift of creation. Well, afterwards, we were separated and all. They kind of heard a set of hand clapping going on up in the stadium. And, you know, I turned and looked up, and there below, it was Mr. Heyman, Paul Heyman, the man himself. And the first thing he hollered, it was funny at the time, but it wasn't. Damn, I didn't get that on video. So I'm sitting here going like, okay, I just beat the hell out of one of this man's major stars. And the only thing he's saying, damn, he didn't get it on video. And I'm sitting there going like, okay. Okay. So, you know, he had, you know, he told the security, though, to, you know, bring me down towards the corridor behind the stadium seats. And which I did, and I went down there, and I went and spoke with him, and very, very, from my opinion, a marketing genius, and, you know, very intelligent guy, he's not no dummy whatsoever. I mean, I truly said Mr. Heyman was a man that if he was green to the majors, as we call it at the time, he was a man to really show you the light between the dirty side and the clean side of the business. Because the business does have a dirty side and a clean side to it. It's just like any other business, you know, whether it's a hamburger job or you know, an executive job. All jobs have, you know, I'm pretty sure you probably agree in radio, every job has its dirty and clean side of it. And make a long story short, he offered me to work what we call in the business a dark match, which is a non-televised match at all. And it was like the first, it was actually pre-show. And I agreed to, he asked me, I had my gear and I did. He reached in his pocket and gave me $500 cash. I was like, hell with it. Who you want me to fight? And I was like, okay. And the story went from there. I worked the match, and after the event was over, after the show was over, I got a business card for him. He told me to call him in a couple of days, and I did. And he wanted me to fly up to New York. Me at the time, and I was like, nah. I took a train up there, and I went there and met with him, talked with him, and we talked some logistics, and later down the road, I stayed with him for 14 months, you know, doing majority pre-shows because, you know, at the time, I was not a well-established indie guy. So in the business, you know, I wasn't well-known enough to put, as they call, asses in the seats. You know, they had the major stars do that, like Jericho, you know, Justin Credible, Tommy Dreamer, all the rest of them. You know, they was the major players, Sabu at the time, you know, and I deal with more or less the beginning, the pre-shows, the opening half, and later down the road, I said about 13, 14 months in, he started running into financial problems, and he started pulling guys aside and said, hey, you know, I'm not sure if I'm able to pay you or not. You know, if you really want to get out your contract and all and go, you can. And at the time, I felt it would be the best thing to do because I didn't think I had an opportunity to go with WWE. And after having a nice run-in with Mr. Eric Bischoff from a TV show, TV taping they did in the Richmond Coliseum, I damn sure won't go into WCW because I got put out the Coliseum because I threatened to throw Eric Bischoff into what we call up here is the James River because he was just an arrogant little prick.
Wow.
You know, marketing genius though, but in my opinion, personality wise, he was an asshole. Excuse my French. He really was at that time. And he had, he didn't like my bill at the time because I wasn't no big cut up diesel guy. And, you know, he started talking down towards me, and I just wasn't tolerating it. And I just threatened to whoop his ass and throw him into James River. And after that, they found the security escorted me out of the building. And I let him know then, I'll burn in hell first while I look for a job from WCW. And unfortunately, it's funny because I said later, seven, 8 years later, the company, he actually, from what I understand, he helped take part of that company down. And I've been back on the indies ever since. Haven't really, you know, made an attempt to go back to a majors. Because all
well,
the place at the time was love.
Tank, you've been real successful in the indies. And I saw you in your native element about a year ago. in Wilmington, and you were introduced to me by our next guest, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, and it, you were just a natural. You were just such a great indie guy. Papa Stro, how are you doing tonight? Yes, sir.
Hello, my children. How are you all doing? Be shy, just inside the papa. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Well, that's a new intro. How you doing tonight, Papa Stro?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Just took Dorothy out for a tricycle ride. She had a blast.
Well, that's good, Dorothy. Dorothy, she's the bomb now, I'll tell you that. That is one scary gal. So she's perfect for ScaryCast. Hey, Dorothy, I hope you're doing well. I tell you what, we're going to take a two-minute break and pay a couple of bills. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Papa Stro about how he got into business. Papa Stro, you got some great stories that you've told me. And my favorite is about you doing some training up in Mooresville. In and around with Nelson Royal and the Anderson brothers. When we come back from a break, will you tell us that story? I love it.
That and a few things Papa will reveal. The
Thank you very
appetite.
Much. All right, buddy. We will see you in 2 minutes. This is ScaryCast. ScaryCast returns in 10 seconds.
All right.
We are back. More ScaryCast. The maniacal laughter of that incredible, incredible wrestler. One of the best people I've ever met, Papa Stro. Glad to have you here along with L.A. Tank. We talked to great wrestlers and all that. So, tell us some story. I love your story about being up in Mooresville and everything. So the microphone is yours, sir, and Dorothy, too, if she wants to say something.
Well, what you like to know?
Well, let's start with that story about Mooresville. I love it. And the truck driver.
What about Mooresville?
Because I think you did some training up there. And
perhaps.
Yeah, you know that story, don't you?
You're referring to the truck driver. That poor soul. He thought he was a wrestler until Ole and Gene Anderson pretty much devoured him in the ring. Papa had to pick up the carcass, what was left of him, and stuff him in his truck and send him on his way. Poor guy.
Yeah, you were telling me how the Anderson brothers had some great tendon strength. Tell us about that. That's a cool thing. I learned about that from you.
Tendon strength, yes. Gene Anderson would grab you by your thumb and bring you to your knees just by grabbing your thumb. His grip was very strong. That's the Gotchas, as the Gene LaBelles, as the Bob Orton Juniors, as the William Regals, all have what they call deceptively strong tendon strength, which when they grab you, they just want to make you cry. Hiro Matsuda had it. Stu Hart had it. And Danny Hodge, the great Danny Hodge had it. And he did this today. He's still undefeated. He would literally grab you in the sleeper hold and you would pass out in seconds.
Do you think a lot of the MMA guys, the ones that were trained in martial arts, tended to have a lot of that tendon strength?
Not everyone. Just a chosen few. I just like to see people suffer. I get my rocks off that.
Gotcha.
Sort of Dorothy, actually.
Yeah, I've seen you do that in the ring. You can really bring a dude to his knees. But yeah, you got a great background. I mean, not only were you trained by the best in the business, you got some training over in MMA over in Japan, and you wrestled with one of those at least one of those organizations over there in the Far East, didn't you?
Yeah, a few of them actually. Yeah, I remember Abdullah and I would share ribs together. Stick the fork in the rib, and devour them. Quite tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was great. We know he's not. I assume he's no longer wrestling. But you had a great story about you and him in Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah, many great times. A lot of victims, a lot of carnage we shared in our time in Puerto Rico. Yeah. Good time.
Yeah. Didn't you bring on enough heat? The crowd really didn't like you in Puerto Rico, did they?
I reveled in it. music to my ears.
Right. And didn't he, I think they were coming at you, generated a lot of heat, and didn't they, I believe they were coming after you. You remember that story? I love that story.
It was Puerto Rico, anywhere around the world I've been. They would throw spark plugs at Papa. They would stab Papa. They would spit on Papa. They would just throw stuff at Papa. But Papa still kept coming at him and still kept stomping their heroes to the ground like little cockroaches. Making him squeal. It was quite entertaining, actually. And Abdullah, he would help me squash the cockroaches, scare the little piggies out of their cages. Speaking of cages, there's a cage match this Saturday.
Yeah.
If I'm not correct.
Tell us about that one. In LA Tank, you join. I think the two of you are going to be going head to head in a cage, and that's going to be a wild and crazy one. Papa, tell you, you had a few cage matches in your past, haven't you?
Oh man, cage matches. Oh, many, too many cage matches. Cage matches, barbed wire, street fights, false count anywhere, no holds barred, you name it. War games, too many to count.
Same here on my end. I've competed in a bunch of cages, street fights, last man standing matches, barbed wire, serpentine wire matches. You name it, I've been in it myself.
Now, have the two of you ever met before in a cage match?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Where was that?
War games.
Ah, what city?
War games.
This will be our second time coming together in a cage this time.
Ah, jeez. Yes.
Well, I know there's a lot
which
of animosity.
City, what time, what place, what does it matter?
That's
it'll
right.
Be another epic encounter. You ask too many
fans,
questions.
Yeah, the fans will be gathering together about 7:30 on this coming Saturday night in Wilmington, North Carolina at the Armed Forces Center. And you got, I think, there are two cage matches on the card, aren't there?
Nope. That's one.
Just one, huh?
Yeah, one is going to be to the end of this whole story right here. It's going to be like Thunderdome. Two man enter, one man leaves.
It'll be like rats in the cage.
Pretty much.
Well, I guess the one that leaves is going to be the UPWA World Heavyweight Champion, right?
Pretty much.
Rats in the cage and the piranhas outside.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, Papa, you were the world champion, and then Tank, wasn't it about 6 to 8 months ago? You got that belt from Papa Strode, didn't you?
No, as of January 13th of this year, I've held that title a year since I defeated Papa.
So it's been a year. Wow, mind how time flies when you're having fun.
Ain't
all right,
true.
So the one
fun?
Year, about the 1 year anniversary
fun?
For this.
Did you say fun? Papa Beck.
You're kind of fun, Papa.
No, I'm not fun. No. I despise your laughter. I despise being on the show with a so-called champion. The one that's hung me, beat me dry, left me laying on the ground. Well, come this Saturday,
well,
Tanky, you and I, we're going to step in the cage and do what we do best. We're going to make magic together.
We're going
to brutalize each other. We're going to brutalize each other. We're going to beat the living hell out of one another.
Oh, yeah. And I look forward to it.
That will be music to my ears. That will be the night that we do our thing. And it won't be fun. This isn't some fun. This isn't some game. This isn't some joke. This is real as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
Tanky,
it really is.
The champ and I will be ready. The question is, the ones watching, will you be?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. I can tell that.
Yeah, it's not going to be for the weak stomach. That's for sure. That's for sure. See, I don't know how I know of his background, know very well of his background. He's no well of my background. To me, this is another challenge in my life. Because when you grew up as a hood rat, you already prepare yourself as a youngin for combat. Just to try to survive. Just putting me in a cage is letting me know I don't have to worry about nobody else but that one person. And that's why I call it Thunderdome rules. Two man enter, one man leave. And the better man is the one that's going to leave. And it's all going to be left right inside of that square cage, 10 foot tall and better.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it's going to be massive. All right. We got to pay a couple bills here. Scary Cast will be back in 2 minutes. Cheers.
All right.
All right.
Scary Cast will be back in 45 seconds. Okay, Scary Cast is back. This is Dr. John, with guests L.A. Tank and Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. Going to have a heck of a match this coming Saturday. Tank, so you've done some cage matches before. How do you prepare
yes.
for a cage match as opposed to a regular match? Because, boy, they're really different, aren't they?
Very different. Yeah, it's actually, I will be the first to sit here and tell you, no matter what anybody said, you never can prepare for them because of the fact of what you are going to go through in that match is going to be a life changing. You know, it's going to be painful. You and God, if you have a God, definitely will be having conversations. And I guess, you know, regular match, you don't have to worry about your body being brutalized as bad when you have a chain link fence with tension put against it. And, you know, you have a lot of weight on you, and having your body thrown into that like a projectile is like shocking to the body, you know. It's like being hit by a vehicle or getting hit by something big and solid. And that's not including that case, you know, like most chain link fences, they have little burrs on them. And if you get thrown into one of them good enough, it will snag your skin and rip your skin, rip your face, whatever way, whatever hit contact with it. And it's real brutal, isn't it? No, every cage I've ever been in, you know, I'm only lost one out of the, I guess, 10 to 12 over my 20-some year career I've been in. And it's something that you definitely... It takes, how can I put it? It takes your soul to another level. And it's something you don't forget. You know,
absolutely.
Win or lose, you know, it's brutal on you.
Those cage matches can become a bloody mess, can't they?
Yes, very quickly. The good thing about it is you don't have to worry about no interference, but the bad thing about it is if somebody do get in the cage of more than one, you getting your ass beat. Unless you got some serious skills. You're getting beat up on very bad.
Well, now, when you do one of these cage matches, is the referee going to be inside the ring with you guys or not? I've seen them done both ways. So that in one time or several times, you know, the winner of the cage match is the one that walked out. The other one.
Right.
Well, is that the way this is going to be?
Well, as far as I understand it, you only have three ways to win this. By pinfall or two ways. By pinfall or escaping the cage. Whether you climb over it or you climb out of the door. Other than that, there are no rules. The rule book is out of the door. So either you beat your opponent or you outsmart your opponent.
Wow.
That's the only way you win. And most likely, a referee will probably be inside and will probably be a referee on the outside.
Okay. I've seen that one as well. We have two referees. You have to have two referees, really, because you guys can start going at it outside the cage and all over that venue. There really are no rules.
Yeah. Right, and the whole purpose is to keep you in. Keep you within the cage.
That's right.
A cage.
Or you beat them out. Excuse me, go ahead.
Well, a cage is more or less, in my opinion, where either you have one or two things as an equation. Either you have two individuals that really can't contain themselves, so you have to cage them like animals, or you have two individuals that can't contain themselves and you don't want no outside interference. That's why I call them Thunderdome. I always treat cages like the movie Thunderdome. Two men head on, one man leaves.
Wow.
You win at all costs. And sometimes all costs could cost you a dislocated shoulder, you know, a busted eye socket, you know, toe off leg, you name it. You win at all costs. That's the name of the ball game. But in order to win, you can't just go in and do anything to sit. You really have to incapacitate your opponent.
So you say you've had about 10 or 12 of these matches. How many years, what is your year span of having these cage matches? How many years have you had them?
Well, I've been in the business about 23 years, so I said about half of my career.
Wow.
Some in my younger part of my career, mid part of my career, and right here on the other end of my half of my career. Now, of course, as I said earlier, I've also competed in worker matches. Like a barbed wire serpentine wire matches where the ring is encased in, all three ropes is encased in barbed wire like you see in prisons. Then in between the barbed wire, you have serpentine razor wire that's laced in between the barbed wire. So if you get thrown into that rope or get thrown anywhere near a turnbuckle, 9 times out of 10, you're getting cut open instantly or getting poked by 1,000 barbs. And I've done two of them matches. And I'll be honest with y'all, the two I came out with a combined of 325 stitches, six staples also. Then I laid up at home after the matches. I laid up at home for a couple of days before I could even move around because I really didn't want to move because my body was in that much pain.
This is not for the faint of heart, is it?
No, sir, it's not. And I know I'm stepping in the ring with this Saturday. You know, I expect him to bring his A game, and knowing him, he's going to bring his A game because he know I'm going to bring mine. So I'm pretty sure, you know, win, lose, draw, whatever happens, we both will know each other, have been there, and our bodies will tell it from that point on. Stroh is not the ordinary guy. You just going to go in that ring and just do a couple moves and beat him. No, Stroh is like I am. He'll bull. And when you get two matching bulls together, one of two things is going to occur. It's going to become a dominance, and which bull is going to reign the supreme, just like he said earlier. And when you got two bulls bucking heads, or more like rams, when they butt heads, just to find out that, you know, somebody's going to have to be the dominant, and somebody had to be number one, and somebody's going to have to be number two.
So there'll definitely be a winner and a loser. My goodness. That is going to be tough.
Sir.
And I see, you know, this is amazing what you guys go through. I mean, I've loved wrestling ever since I was 10 years old. I knew it was really tough, but I've seen a lot of things happen. I can tell you that match where you won the World Heavyweight Championship match, that was the toughest match I ever saw. I've seen the NWA Giants. I've seen Flair, Dory Funk, the Great Malenko. I've seen the real Giants, but that was the toughest match I ever saw back in Wilmington, as you said, January the 13th. That was unbelievable. So I know this one's gonna be a great match. I'm looking forward to it. So now you've been doing this for 23 years. Who are some of the toughest competitors, other than Papa Stroh, who are some of the toughest competitors that you have faced in the ring, Tank?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to Indians, boy, them some tough SOBs. I've had my fair share of Indians. Of course, the late, great, you know, Chief Wahoo McDaniel, that man had a hand, boy. When he hit you, it felt like you were coming out your boots. You know, and I will put him out there. I can't think of his name. He was another chief. I can't think of his name. Saved my life. At the time of my younger career, when I wore a mask, I lost to him, and he was basically what we call, I lost my hood to him. Let me see. Some more hard-hitting greats. I don't know if you remember this fellow. Craig Pittman, Sergeant Craig Pittman. He worked for WCW. He was a rough guy. You know, you could tell he was a Marine. Good God Almighty, boy. He was a rough one in the ring. He really was.
They call it, he was stiff.
Yes, sir, he was. I'm just thinking on and on and on. But, I mean, I know me and this fellow, we met from the major promotion, ECW, which was Kareem Horton. He was the partner of New Jack. And Kareem was definitely another tough opponent. He too much reminded me of Abdullah. You get in the ring with him, you had to worry about getting stabbed in the head with a fork with him. I just got going on. Tell you, a pretty decent tough guy. He's in Hagerstown, Maryland. He's now retired. The late John Rambo. He's still alive. Let me see. I'm just in here thinking. Major star wise. Now, don't get me wrong. This is the part that I will say willfully. There's a lot of great indie talent that's some real tough boys. Yeah, I've been in the ring against. I mean, I've been in the ring with one fellow. I think he was about 6'8", 6'9". I knew the bottom of my head came to the top of his chest. Wow. I mean, the top of my head came to the bottom of his chest. And, yeah, he was a biggin'. I had to go at him like I was a lumberjack trying to cut down a tree.
Where'd you meet up with him? What town? You remember what town that was?
That would be Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and that was the four company that's now out of the business, All-Star Pro Wrestling. His name was Malicious. The only reason why I wound up beating him that night was due to cardio. You know, I know myself being a big guy, my biggest challenges has always been guys smaller than me. You know, because they're so squatty and you're so fast, you kind of catch a hard time getting a grip on them. They're like a little bee constantly hits you and keep moving. And that was the one option I had. You know, I prefer to get in rings with guys big. Like this last fellow, my first time meeting him this past weekend down in Somerville, South Carolina, Big Hoss. And I was a big boy. But me, I like fighting them big. I really do.
Yep. I tell you
Go ahead.
Tank, we're going to make our last commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about Hoss and last weekend and what you expect this weekend. So we're going to pay a couple bills. This is Scary Cast, the L.A. All Tank, right. And Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. Cast will return in 45 seconds. We're back. This is Dr. John with Scary Cast. We've got L.A. Tank and Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling, two of the greats. They're in the indie leagues now, and they're thrilling fans all over the country. In fact, all over the world. So, yeah, L.A., you were talking about Big Hoss. And you were taking him on. I think ended up being in a handicap match. It was Papa Stro and Big Hoss versus you and... You had two other partners. That was a tough one. Tell us about that.
Amazing Velvet and Big Game James. Well, the promoter, I don't know what was his deal. He was on his little kick that night, which it didn't matter to me, you know, how he wanted me to be involved in the match. But I've heard about this Big Hoss guy. Had no clue that his fellow used to be a power lifter. I would truly say, ain't too many guys in the business have thrown me around. This boy set me down on my behind, just like him off of nothing. So that learned me right then and there, over my years of experience in the ring, you know, you can have all the strength in the world. It's all about how you think and how you use your strategy to beat a person. And I wasn't really too subtle of my meeting with him, and I look forward to hopefully getting another opportunity at him. whether he beat my behind three or four times or whatever. But I want another shot at him because of the fact I like him big. And I don't find too many people that can throw me around. And he seemed like he's a big boy that know how to move, you know, which he really does. He can move right fast for a big 400-pounder. Definitely. So I look forward to meeting him, that's for sure, again, if I have the opportunity.
Wow. Well, I know you have faced the big ones and the small ones.
Hell yeah.
And all that. Papa Stro just sent a text. He said he's taking Dorothy out for a ride to go catch some bats. Oh, he might catch a couple vampire bats. He is one tough character.
Well, that's a shame because I wanted to let him know why he was on the line. I promised to be civil. Since y'all came to me first of the week, and I promised to be civil on your show, and I will be civil on your show. But see, the problem I got with Stro made this personal a couple of years back, 3 years back when he came in. And after the old time has came along now, I found a chink in his armor. And, you know, you asked me, how do you prepare for this cage? Physically, I'm ready. I've been in the gym. I guess I call it off of the radar. Because I don't believe in posting what I do, like some cats do on Facebook. You know, I like to keep it under suspense. Physically, I just like now. I haven't allowed this came out of the gym about an hour and a half ago. Physically, I'm ready. You get in a match with Stro, more or less a cage, you have to be mentally prepared. And I'm really mentally prepared to get in this ring with him because I've proven it now twice. From a war games to over a year ago, and come this Saturday, I'm spoiler alert. I'm predicting again. I'm gonna walk out that cage with my title. Now I'm not saying I'm gonna walk out that cage, you know, free of will. I don't know what shape I might be in when I come out that cage, but I'm guaranteeing I'm gonna walk out there with my damn belt, no matter what I have to do. Because with Stro, it's not just a physical game. It's a mental game. And if you don't know how to get past neither one of them, you're already defeated. Because he's definitely a physical competitor. He's one of the most physical competitors I've been in the ring with in my 20-some years. He can take a beating and come back and throw a beating quick as he can take one. You know, that's when it become a mental challenge to you, going like, okay, I threw all this at this one guy, and how in the world is he coming back at me? And you got to have the endurance, you got to have the drive. And like I said, I found that chink, as far as I'm concerned, in his armor. I just got to wait till the opportunity to capitalize on that chink when it's open up. And that's how I've been successful so far against him. And this is what I'm going to use going into this match come this Saturday.
All right. Well, that is some real insight. And I don't think a lot of people have got to hear this from folks, especially from guys that are real pros like the two of you. That's what makes ScaryCast good, Tank, and I want to have you back. I like interviewing you. I interviewed you once on the old Comic-Con Stars show. And I always like talking to you because you're very real. You're a super pro like Papa Stro. And when you get the pros out, the guys that know what they're doing, they're scary a little bit. And that's why ScaryCast is a good place. We'll be having some wrestlers on every once in a while on this show. Because I want people to understand this is not for kids. Not at all.
No.
And so we're glad you're with us tonight. Do you have one more? We got time for just one more story. You have one more great story? Because I love your how you joined ECW. That was a great story. Do you have one more story you could share with us?
Well, yeah. Well, this fellow, I don't know if he actually worked for ECW, but he's one of the greats from actually Strove following all DuPont Company, WCW, NWA, and this will be the great Ricky Morton. Funny guy, interesting guy. He real good guy to work with. But in Ricky heydays, after the company had went their separate, went their business, Ricky went to the independents, and I'll never forget it. We was working a show up in Arlington, Virginia. Well, we worked the show a whole 9 yards, so a couple of us decided to go hang out after the show. Well, now, you know me being a black guy, I don't have a race card or nothing. And Ricky, Ricky Morton is a white guy. Well, we up in a bar, and of course, a couple people recognize us, and of course, as the Southern people are called wrestlers, wrestlers. You know, it's kind of like a little irritation a little bit, but, make a long story short, we had a couple of little dummies in there that got a little too much alcohol, and they wanted to start wrestling, and we was like, nah, we ain't want nothing to do with it. Well, in the process, a bar fight broke out. Next thing you know, we have Arlington PD coming in there, throwing everybody in handcuffs. Well, I guess it took for the patrons and the bartenders and all to confirm that we didn't start the fight. So we decided to get let go. Well, as we were walking out the bar, Mr. Morton decided to, drunk as hell, as he walked by a black patrol officer, he decides to pull his pants down and tell the black officer to kiss his white behind it, tell him how many hands behind it, which that didn't go over too good with that officer, police officer. That didn't go over too well. We had to hurry up and get Ricky out there before we all went to jail. And we just couldn't shut his mouth up. And
you had to hurry up, huh?
I asked Ricky, Ricky, why did you do that? He said, well, he just looked at it this way. He had a white man to tell him to kiss his ass. And I'm like, no, dude, you can't do that. That's the police. You can't do that. He said, he'll get over it. I was like, no, dude, you can't do that. His boy was lit up from a firecracker. And Lord knows, y'all know if Rick ever heard that told that story, he'll probably deny it. But he knows it's some funny things. And as you've seen, you've been on a couple of spots after these shows with a couple of wrestlers, and you see some interesting things. At the end of the day, we're humans. We're just like anybody else. You know, when we leave work, we have downtime. And I'm pretty sure you have seen a couple of goofy things happen on show after shows too. So as ones which you have memories that you carry to your grave with, that only if the fans knew it, they'd be like, what in the world? That's for sure. Yeah. You're probably wondering, like, is that my, that's the guy I was just cheering for? Doing that? Yeah, it's interesting. Trust me.
I'm sure it is. Well, LA Tank, thanks again for being with us. We're going to have you back. And so it's always great having you and Papa Stro with us. Best of luck, and may the sharpest guy win. Next week on ScaryCast, we've got Marshall Masters, Planet X Nibiru expert, and we've got Jackson Samael from Australia. He's a member of Bigfoot Research Organization and also hunts out for Planet X. We're going to have a Planet X talk. Papa Stro will be with us. Devin will be with us on ScaryCast. Good night, L.A. Good night, Papa Stro, wherever you are. Oh,